Hello, and welcome to ClickThrough. I am your host and moderator, Hillary Frederick. Here on ClickThrough, we dive into the world of user experience, where industry leaders and government experts come together to share their stories, insights, and successes in transforming customer experience within the government. If you're joining us for the first time, it's great to have you here. And to our returning listeners, welcome back. We're thrilled to have you along for another episode. Today, I'm excited to introduce you to two remarkable guests who will bring fresh perspectives on CX transformation. Let's jump right in. Our first guest today is from AWS. Chris Doty is the Senior Practice Manager for the Department of the Air Force, where he leads the direct account team. Chris brings over 20 years of experience supporting the Air Force with various enterprise IT capabilities across cyber, DevOps, and cloud solutions. And joining us for Maximus is Donna Settle, Vice President for the Federal Defense Market, where she leads growth initiatives for the U.S. Air Force and Space Force markets. Donna brings an extensive background in cyber, cloud, systems and software solutions, data analytics services within the defense and intelligence community. Welcome to you both.
Thank you, Hillary. Thanks for having me here.
And thanks, Hillary. Thanks for having me here.
Sure. So let's start off today. I do want to talk about, of course, IT modernization. And most often when we talk about this topic, I think we almost always focus or hone in on the technology aspect first. But of course, ClickThrough, we focus here on customer experience. So I do want to take a moment to talk about customer experience as a key component of that successful innovation. And I want to hear from both of you and kind of pick your brains a little bit about how IT modernization efforts, and you can take your pick. You can take it from a cloud adoption or AI angle, but how have each of you seen recent IT modernization efforts improved the day-to-day experiences for defense personnel and stakeholders, in the defense and Air Force space? And Chris, I'd like to start with you.
Sure. So, I mean, I think we look at it in two different aspects. One is how can we improve the customer experience of our direct customer? But not only that, but how do we help our customer improve their customer's experience? So take a DevOps perspective. There's a lot of challenges at times for defense customers to acquire net new hardware or acquire net new software. You know, from an AWS standpoint, we try to make that as seamless and easy as possible for, say, a DevOps team to launch, net new compute or to install net new software. So it reduces a lot of the maybe acquisition, day-to-day administration, a lot of those mundane tasks of just day-to-day IT. So it makes their life easier, frees up their time to then focus more on how do they develop net new capabilities for their customer base. So that's a lot of times we focus in that area to make sure that we're not only making it easy for our customers, but theirs as well. So.
Great. Thanks, Chris. I'll just chime in. Just in general, cloud adoption and AI alone by modernizing and implementing the new technology doesn't necessarily, solve a lot of the day-to-day experience problems. It's really about empowering those customers and the stakeholders to perform their mission more effectively. We do know that cloud adoption enables faster access to the mission critical data from anywhere, and that's been proven just so long as there's access, whether airmen are in a deployed environment or at a home station. We also look at AI from a implementation point to eliminate those boring repetitive tasks. What the goal overall is to free up the time of the airmen so that they can focus more strategically. And this could mean, streamlining anything from maintenance schedules to real-time data analysis during multi-domain operation exercises or deployments. And it really does allow for reducing the frustration and improving the overall mission outcomes. So we look at customer experience of how we use cloud and how we use AI to make sure that we are meeting the mission of the airmen and supporting their day-to-day operational experience to make it more effective and efficient. And that's what it's all about.
That's great. And both of you, I mean, you made some good points about, you know, having the ability to free up the mundane, to letting those men and women, the airmen, really focus in on the mission, to hone in on those most important tasks. But there's got to be some challenges, right? And in implementing these different either software or tools, you know, can you talk a little bit about how you work with different different customers, different organizations? How do you work with them to kind of balance those operational priorities and kind of get them to maybe overcome some of those worries or challenges to see, you know, and truly understand maybe those EX, those employee, I'll call them employee, you know, employee experiences that there really are their positive outcomes when you can free up the time and you can free up their thinking to get them to improve that, you know, end outcome, the mission outcome. How do you work with them to kind of see the positive? The overall change management. You know, Donna, what are your thoughts? How do you work around that?
Well, here at Maximus, we have a large federal customer base, and we pride ourselves on the customer experience. We have a offering called the Total Experience Management, where we have partnered very closely with our customers to map their workflows and their processes in order to identify where the technology can alleviate pain points and create automation to make their lives more effective and efficient to complete task. We've worked to design, you know, major systems and shift to the clouds and implement AI where possible. And what we're doing is really keeping the workforce in mind, looking at those user personas and ensuring that we're providing intuitive approaches to accomplishing their task. And thus that really minimizes the time that they need to spend navigating the complex platform. Our goal is always to deliver solutions that align with the overall mission and enhance that daily experience for those who use it.
Yeah, and from an AWS standpoint, I mean, in an ideal situation, we try to work backwards, you know, from our customers. So we will host a working backwards session to help us, you know, not only identify, like, when do we need to have a capability deployed, you know, what is the customer, their goals or missions from that standpoint, but what are some of the challenges that we could anticipate, you know, looking around corners that we could run into, whether it's an acquisition challenge, are we using the right contract vehicle that's available, do they have the right color of money? You know, so we can work through those items ahead of time. Is there an issue with authorities to operate from an ATO standpoint? You know, are we providing the proper artifacts documentation to, you know, remove any concerns from a security or cyber standpoint? So we want to make sure we have those readily available to our customers. And then, you know, once they start building, you know, what the services that they're leveraging, you know, are they available and easily consumed? Does the customer or the builders have the skill set to leverage those? So do we need to help lean in and provide some upskilling or reskilling of those resources? So there's, you know, as you can see, I mean, there's several challenges kind of along this life cycle. And we've tried to identify those as early as possible to try to make sure that they just don't become blockers. You know, frustration sets in, and then, you know, the whole project, the whole customer and end user experience just kind of falls apart. So
yeah, those are important things to think about. And I know when we think about a lot of different emerging technologies, and what made me think you just mentioned there, the upskilling and reskilling and emerging tech, obviously AI and machine learning and large language models are all over the place today, right? I mean, they're in everything you read, everything you hear about, especially in the customer experience space. AI has a big foothold, right? There's a lot of things that are out there, a lot of tools, a lot of solution sets that are doing amazing things to help expedite and enable truly transformative ways that we work, ways that we experience things from a customer experience perspective or an end user experience perspective. I know things are happening across different federal agencies. There's different pilots in use. There's a lot of things happening even in the Air Force space. You know, the Air Force Research Lab has done some amazing things in AI. From each of your perspectives and in the work that you're doing and in customer conversations, I'm curious to see, you know, from emerging technologies like AI, machine learning, you know, what are some potential other future applications do you think could also have some interesting impact on customer experience? You know, what are maybe some things that you're excited that are coming down the pike? Maybe some things that you're hoping, you know, or hearing that customers are hoping that you might be able to kind of help solve or looking forward to that, maybe IT modernization, you know, going back to our overall topic, or maybe that you're helping them solve in the near future. Just curious to hear what you might be hearing or thinking or help strategizing along the way. So, Chris, any thoughts?
You know, it's been an interesting, you know, last 18 to 24 months, you know, because like you mentioned, initially, a lot of this was focused on the AI piece. And from our side, the AI piece was really more automation. You know, how can I take, you know, a voice and transcribe it into, you know, words? How can I automate text recognition or image recognition, you know, to try to remove some of that labor piece of it as well? And the machine learning was, you know, you had to have a data science, computer science, you know, some pretty, you know, significant training in order to leverage some of those. And now from a Gen AI standpoint, you know, they've managed to democratize, you know, that technology, and it makes it a lot easier for users to consume. You know, even internally here at AWS, I mean, we have a lot of tools that allow me to summarize documents, to quickly author documents or emails. And that's what you're talking about, like on the AFRL side with the Nipper GPT. You know, a lot of the initial use cases of that was the DoD has massive amounts of documentation, lots of standard forms. You know, how do you automate and help, you know, the everyday airmen and women, you know, take advantage of this technology and stuff. And they've done a pretty interesting job with that, just with some basic document summarization and stuff. But moving into the future, like some of the stuff that that Donna mentioned, you know, when you do predictive maintenance, how do I do predictive planning? How do I ensure that I have a part that needs to be moved from, you know, place B to place C and D? Do I have the proper manning to get it there? Do I have the proper material handling to offload it once it gets there? Being able to expose that data and make it easier for them to make these decisions in a quick and easy format. I think you're going to see a lot of that starting to take place now over the next, you know, say 6 to 12 to 18 months.
And I definitely agree. Some of the things that I've been tracking within the Air Force is, you know, we have autonomous systems with the development of the autonomous drones and the unmanned aeronautical vehicles that are in use today that are reducing the risk of the human pilots. These systems are advancing quite significantly, and these systems can perform the reconnaissance, surveillance, and even combat missions with high precision. So I see a lot of advancement coming down the pike in that area. That's something that we are moving towards within the Air Force. And like Chris had mentioned, the real-time decision-making, AI really allows a vast amount of data to be analyzed in real time analysis commingling data from disparate data sets and bringing it together so that insights can be provided. If you look at some of the things that are being done with the joint systems, there are systems that are in the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and other areas where there's lots of data that needs to come about, whether it's supporting an exercise or supporting a mission, and getting through that, you know, cross-domain, cross-platform, cross—you name it. There's a lot of things that need to come together so that that we can bring things into a centralized environment, so better decision making can happen. Along with that, of course, real-time decision making across multiple domains, multiple platforms, allows us the capability to take a look at how do we train in that environment, how do we practice in that environment. So, what was mentioned earlier about upscaling and training personnel, that's here, that's real. We're even seeing that within our own Maximus enterprise today, where we're taking a look at everything that we need to do to upskill or reskill our staff. And a lot of that is being brought together by some internal AI tools. That's pretty neat to see. And I can see the military and the services taking advantage of similar skills like that, because it's important to them to have a ready workforce, just as important as it is to have a ready warfighter systems available, and making sure that they're available for operational needs. So back to the predictive maintenance, we're not 100% there yet, but through AI and the machine learning capabilities, we're getting really close, and it's exciting to see.
Yeah, and I've, you know, just a couple other examples, you know, if I've got time to talk about it, like even, you know, from an Amazon standpoint, you know, if you're watching, you can see that your package is 10 stops away, 5 stops away, you know, when it would be delivered. So even some of the items we're focused on is just the everyday, like business systems. How do I streamline the joint travel regs to make it easier for, you know, the men and women, active duty, reserve, guard to submit travel, you know, and get reimbursed for that travel and make sure that they're within the guidelines. You know, that's not always very easy. A lot of that stuff is, you know, publicly available. So you can take that, put it into a foundational model, and do this retrieval augmented generation capability, and be able to, you know, make that easier for them to make a decision on how do I move from one post to another or one base to another? How do I monitor where my family items are, you know, my furniture, et cetera, as it moves through, you know, from one location to the other. So there's a lot of opportunities just to make impact there, not only at the mission level, like Don was talking about, but just, you know, kind of some of the day-to-day stuff that I think some people take for granted.
That's awesome. That's really good insights. And it almost brings me to kind of two topics and two question threads. So I'm going to start with one, because Donna, you were mentioning when you were talking, obviously, the data sets and the vast amount of data that's required. And when I think data, my mind obviously goes to cloud, right? And in cloud technology, obviously, with the data sets that is occurring within the defense space in particular, you don't really associate cloud technology with customer experience or user experience, but you should, right? Because that's what's making all of this possible, right? The streamlining, making things easier, making me able to see where my package is. All of that information is going somewhere. That data is going somewhere. So obviously cloud modernization and cloud technology is directly related to that customer experience. I want to know, but then cloud technology, then security, right? That's also the other issue. When there's a large amount of data, security is obviously a crucial concern for any federal agency, any branch, anywhere. So it's almost like a two-prong cloud and customer experience, but then also the security. And then you know, how are you looking at and working with customers to secure data, to ensure that those security measures are still compliant, are still up to date, while maintaining that customer experience, that end user experience?
Yeah, from the AWS side, again, I mean, you'll see this very often on anything that we talk about. You know, security is job zero. You know, so from that standpoint, that's where we start from. So, you know, the balancing piece is once we get the security piece resolved and make sure that that's in place, then, you know, then we'll pivot to some of the other items. In combination with that, trust, you know, so earn trust is one of our leadership principles. You know, and if we can't ensure, you know, if we can't ensure that customer that we will take care of that data, we will be able to secure that data, we will make sure that we can continuously monitor that data, like you said, put in all the guardrails associated from a security standpoint, you're not going to earn their trust and they're not going to move forward with us. And so like we're talking about, you know, once we get to that piece, then we can start talking about, okay, now that we have this data set, how do we merge it or have some sort of API available to allow it to be augmented by another piece of data set and another piece of data set, whether it's all within the Air Force or even more complicated when you start talking about joint, you know, how do I merge this data set with the Army, Air Force, and Navy? How do I merge it with a coalition partner's data set? So each one of those, like you're talking about, has its different, you know, security policies associated with it, whether it's releasable or not releasable, you know. So, you know, we get hung up in policy in some cases that prevents the technology or the innovation from moving forward. But, you know, if we can't show a reason why that policy should have an exception to it, because we can mitigate those risks and those security concerns, you know, we're not going to be able to do some of that stuff. So we deal with that on a weekly, monthly basis with a lot of our mission customers, you know, to make sure that we're able to, you know, provide them again with the data that they need, the artifacts that they need to ensure that, you know, we're not violating any security protocols, and that we can get around some of these policy issues.
Yeah, that's super important, Chris. One of the things that everyone was so worried about in the very beginning with cloud adoption, it's like, where's my data and who can see it, right? Yeah. I think looking at the Air Force, they're adopting a zero trust architecture, and by implementing this security model, it really is going to have that assurity that the users, whether they're inside the network or outside the network, are authenticated, that they're authorized, and that they're continuously validated before they're granted access to either the applications or the data. And that zero trust architecture is going to minimize the risk of security breaches. And then you add in a complete layered security approach that has that network segmentation, the advanced encryption, the access controls, and the continuous monitoring that's necessary to make sure that there's no, you know, holes in the system, along with, you know, regular security audits for, you know, access authentication, making sure that there's no holes there. It starts with, you know, developing those good security practices and the authority to access and the need to know and making sure that things are really, you know, set up correctly. Looking at many of our customers that we work with, you know, baking that security into the application systems, looking at secure DevOps practices, for example, in the DevSecOps security environment, those security measures are important from the very beginning. having that security testing in place with CI/CD pipelines or continuous integration, continuous deployment. So it's going through testing every time that things are moving through the pipelines, securing those pipelines. That is super important. So as development is being done, it's baked in. And that's something moving monolithic applications to the cloud, that is super important to make sure that we're meeting those standards and baking that security in. I think, you know, continuous training and awareness is important from all levels, because there's different aspects from the user of the network, the user of the system, to make sure that they can identify any threats. But looking at, you know, the continuous monitoring and incident response to, you know, rapidly mitigate any breach that may happen or any patch that needs to occur from an autonomous standpoint is where we're reaching into with systems like AI. We call it, you know, self-healing in some instances, where if there's something that needs to be shut down, ports, protocol, those things can automatically be done and then investigated to make sure that there's no problem with a real-time incident.
Thank you, Donna and Chris, for joining us today. And a big thank you to our listeners for tuning in. If you want to hear more proven strategies for leveraging innovative technology to improve total experiences in federal government, please subscribe to this podcast or visit us at our website, maximus.com/federal. I'm your host, Hillary Frederick. Join us next time for more strategies for optimizing total user experiences from government to you. This podcast was produced by Government Technology Insider and sponsored by Maximus.